Tonight's Big Brother 20 recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car, and they've got some useful tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You can also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you can also place your keychain remote underneath your chin to increase its range. Those are weird tips. Here's a tip that's not so weird. True Car can also help you get a used car, too. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying new cars, and no longer do you have to just rely on Caitlin's intuition, because the certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy, so you'll be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's about to change his urologist from Angie Rockstar to anybody else. I am Rob Cesternino. She really, she has no sense of HIPAA statutes, that Angie Rockstar. How are you guys doing tonight? Very excited to be here live with you guys tonight on a very fun Sunday night here to talk about everything going on in the world of Big Brother 20 here with Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Rob, I'm upset because I just watched Brett and everything's going well for him. And people like that, just they always win, Rob.
They always win. And also here with a man who suddenly is not as high on Big Brother Brett. Here is Brett Wolgamont.
I don't have anything cute to say tonight. I just am happy to be here to recap a fun episode of Big Brother. What's going on, Rob?
Yes. Okay. So a lot to talk about here tonight. We are going to take your questions. Hashtag R-H-A-P. A very fun season of stuff to talk about, and certainly a lot to unpack here tonight as we go through everything from the Sunday night episode, as we got Sam's nominations. Caitlin and Haley are on the block, as they should be, as the definition of the opposite of female empowerment. And so we will talk about all that and all the fallout from Thursday's vote, which turned out to be, again, another crazy vote, plus a very special episode of Big Brother 20 tonight that we'll touch on how the show handled its latest controversy and much more here. Of course, don't forget Monday, Summer of Stein podcast coming up. We'd love to get your feedback as well. Be sure to send us in your questions for that show, as I'll record with Eric tomorrow afternoon. But it was another interesting night here on Big Brother. And really, Brent, 1 month in, I don't know what more we could expect from this season of Big Brother, heading into a week where potentially it could have been a dud week where nothing was going to matter. We just have excitement around every turn.
It's really amazing. I mean, I am done comparing it to last season. It is not last season at all. There's no chance of it being last season. This is the Big Brother that we know and love. And I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I just don't think it's going to drop. I don't care who ends up as HOH. I really thought it could be Sam. I mean, with Sam and her power and the way Sam doesn't like to play the game, I thought it had to potential to be a bit of a dud week. I honestly think as long as one Caitlin Herman is in the house, we will never have a dud week, Rob. It's all about Caitlin for the most part, even though there were times in the episode tonight where she was a bit absent, but she's not been absent on the feeds, I'll tell you that.
Yes, she has certainly been a driving force, and she's allowed there to be so much drama on all sides. And Taryn, we saw in a house without Caitlin, perhaps it would not be possible to have this many rogue votes be possible so far through 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, she opened the door when Tyler convinced her that first week to flip her vote. And then ever since then, it goes around and she's so easy to blame for these votes now. She's also capable of doing them. It also helps that Rockstar floated out this plan of maybe we should do a hinky vote and blame it on the bros, which still has Bailey suspicious. It's this combination of people like Tyler who will force these people to do these things and hide his vote and blame others, people like Caitlin who are just so easy to blame and so easy to convince, and then people like Fessy who, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, poor Fessy is just being spun around in circles and not even for a Mamma Mia competition, and he doesn't know which end is up, and so we'll get to him. But let's take things through from the fallout from Thursday night's vote. Brent, we didn't get to hear your reaction with us on Thursday or on the live feed update over the weekend. So what was your reaction to what Brett did on the vote when he accused Rockstar of flipping before everybody went to go vote?
Well, I think my reaction was probably similar to Taryn's, where I was like, there's no way this is gonna work. But then I remember the people that are on the losing side of the vote and how disorganized they are. And I thought, well, there's maybe a chance that it will work, but definitely Scotty or some people will sniff out Tyler and they'll explain it to people as in, why would Rockstar vote to evict Winston, if indeed she was being called out by Brett in the middle of the speech? Like, why would Brett call her out if he knew the vote was 6-5? If he knew that his life was
on my daughter's birthday.
Yeah, that too. But if he knew his vote, his life in the Big Brother house was hanging by a thread, a literal thread, with somebody who never talks to is actually going to vote for him, and that's how he's going to stay. And he's going to call her out right before the vote to make her feel bad, and then she's still going to follow through and vote with him. Like, I thought it would dawn upon these people. It eventually did, but like 2 days later, and at that point, it almost didn't matter, honestly.
Yeah, Taryn, we saw that there was a conversation between JC and Tyler about, okay, we're going to flip and we're going to blame the votes on Caitlin. How did it get to Brett? And then not just blame the votes on Caitlin, but then also that he's going to blame the vote on Rockstar. And then Rockstar is going to say that she's going to blame the vote on Caitlin.
Brett has been trying to pin stuff on Rockstar for a while. He did that all throughout Scotty's week. And I don't think this was premeditated. I think he just kind of came up with it. He had talked to Winston about how he wanted to make some kind of big speech. And I think he just wanted to throw some shade onto Rockstar. And I was on this podcast Thursday night saying this was a gag. This was not intended to be a real strategic move because there's no way it would ever work. And then I proceeded to watch hours of feeds where it absolutely worked. And these people are just like, they don't know which way is up.
Yeah. Honestly, though, not to give them any credit, but to give them a little bit of credit, they picked the two best people in the house to really try to pin stuff on, because Rockstar plays, I love her, okay? I do, but she's lost a little bit of my love this week with how she's behaving with Brett. I mean, it is, after all, a game move. He made a game move to try to protect somebody. If she could stop for a second and think, she might realize that. And on the other hand, blaming Caitlin for a vote is genius, because as Taryn mentioned, she flipped her vote during week one. Pretty much everybody knows about that now. And then she disowned her own alliance during week two and put up their own leader in Swaggy. So why should they believe anything that she says at this point? Honestly, it was an on-point move.
Yeah, and we got...
You are disgusting!
Yeah.
So many great moments with Rockstar and Brett. More to come with that. Taryn, I thought that Tyler really handled this well when Caitlin came up to him right after the vote and said, hey, did you flip? Swear on your dad's grave that you didn't flip. And he got really indignant with her and said, I would never do that. I'll never do that. And she let it go. And I thought that Tyler handled that pretty well.
Well, what's funny, actually, is that she misinterpreted him.
Right.
She thought he was saying, I would never do that. I would never vote against mm-hmm. you and lie to you about it. What he was saying was, I would never swear on my father. But she didn't realize that. So she went around saying, Tyler swore on his father that he voted this way. And I completely believe him because he would never do that unless it was the truth. And then Tyler got to go around saying, I did not say that, which makes Tyler look more believable. Mm-hmm. And it makes Caitlin look like more of a liar. And then he finally does get to have a conversation with Caitlin later where he's like, listen, I was not okay with you when you said that I would never swear on my father. And she apologizes. And it really worked out for the better for Tyler.
Yeah. So everybody, after all that drama, goes out to the backyard. And I feel like the show, they had so much to get through tonight. I feel like they sort of yada yada the endurance competition. And it wasn't super long. It was done by the time that we were done with the podcast on Thursday night. But Brent, I was so surprised. We had three confessionals from KC in the first 10 minutes of the show. How about that?
My daddy, yeah. Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he call her? My daddy, Casey?
My daddy, KC.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, honestly, I was like thinking maybe it was going to be a bit of a dud show when we got three confessionals from KC. But she's growing on me. She's playing the game hard at this point. Maybe we don't love the people that she's playing the game with, but it's her game to play. And I have a feeling that, you know, come week 8 or week 9, I'm going to be going like, you know, KC, G.Otis, love you, girl, you know, because I feel like that's where the game is headed at this point.
Yeah. KC was well, just on KC then, but I feel like that she's all about level 6, though. She's talking about how level 6 is so awesome.
That is my one concern with her, Taryn, is that she, like someone like Rachel, I feel like, is a little bit too loyal to this alliance mm-hmm. and is thinking that you get a prize at the end if you get to the end with your alliance or something. It seems to me that she has even more genuine connections with people like Bailey. And yet I feel like that in the end, she may not choose those connections in the name of some alliance that she made with people that she barely knew during the first week of the game. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's been my concern with her all along. She said preseason that she wants her game to be a very simple and loyal one. That was always one of my worries with her. I also worried that she'd be a little guarded, and it has taken a little while for her to connect to some of these people. But luckily she's had the time to do so, and she's in a really great spot because of it. She's taken the time to really slowly work up to these bonds. The problem is, as you're mentioning, I do think that she is probably loyal to a fault. Every single time we talk about her on the Stockwatch, I mention, I just don't know if she has that killer instinct to take the win at the end. And that remains to be the case. As well as she is performing, you know, in the competitions, in the game socially, I don't know if there's the killer instinct there.
Yeah, it seems to me like the three women, and we mentioned Casey and Rachel, and to a lesser degree, the furniture, Angela. I feel like that they have like, oh, and nobody knows where level 6, ha ha ha, you know, we got this going on. But it just feels like that Tyler and JC, it seems like that they have like a much more diverse portfolio in terms of all the different contingencies, where the girls seem like that if they get to the point where level 6 gets to the end, maybe they can get rid of Tyler and go ahead, unless Tyler, you know, probably has side deals with KC. But it just feels like that it's basically they have one hidden option, Taryn, and that's the level 6 option.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that is why level 6 is so successful. They're very coherent and they're all very loyal to the alliance. You know, Rachel and Angela have had conversations where they're worried about Brett, not Tyler, unfortunately for them, because they think Brett is the real mastermind behind everything. But they talk about it in terms of like, yeah, but he's good for us right now. Like, this level 6 alliance should be taken quite far before we ever start to turn on each other. And they are able to coordinate and communicate without much communication. Like, they don't hang out with each other all the time. They hang out in pairs and in other kinds of things. When Brett tells this lie about Rockstar, they are able to cover for him in exactly the way that they needed to. And they just, their instinct is to protect both themselves and the Alliance. Whereas the Fauci side is like, their instinct is to be like, no, they screwed us. I'll tell you all of my information. You tell me all of your information and we'll try and figure this out and who screwed us. It's like night and day. And it's been very successful for the level six people.
However, I will say that they, at least some members of that Alliance, have been playing with a bit of an ace in the hole in Sam's power. And it's a lot easier to play balls out, as Tony would tell you from Survivor Kagiyan, when you have something in your back pocket that you know can save your life in the game. And I really do feel like that many people in that Alliance are loyal to the Alliance because of Sam's power. I know that Winston talked on the On the Block podcast that he had to be very careful about what he said and how far he let people go, talking about outing anything about Tyler or the Alliance because of Sam's power. It was a delicate situation. I cannot believe that, as hungry as many of these people are in the house, why they are willing to let Tyler continue to double deal with the other side. Like, if somebody, like, let's say Rockstar wins HOH, and now that Sam's power is going to be out of play after this week, I have to believe that if they feel like they're in the crosshairs, they're going to say, hey, but what about Tyler? Like, you didn't know that he was the one who lied to you last week during that vote that you were questioning, did you? Or JC, what about him? Because JC, even though he's not in the Alliance, he's done just as much for the Level 6 Alliance, even more so than people that are actually in it. So I think everybody's okay right now with people in the Alliance like JC and Tyler double dealing, but I can't imagine that will hold moving forward once they don't have a trick up their sleeve.
That's exactly what I thought. And that's why I thought that the Scotty HOH week was going to end terribly for Tyler, because obviously these bros would out Tyler. And Scotty even had a conversation shortly after the HOH competition where he was like, actually, I think that this can't be true. Like, what the bros were saying must be true, because look, if the bros knew about Sam's power and if they knew that like Tyler knew about it and all this stuff, they would have told me. They were throwing everything against the wall. So I don't believe that this stuff is true. And I was like, yeah, I'm shocked that they didn't say anything either. I would also think the same thing that Scotty is thinking. But I've come to realize that the women in the Level 6 Alliance, instead of throwing Tyler's name out there, they would throw Brett's name out there. They think that Brett is the double agent. They don't even realize half the stuff Tyler is doing. They recognize that they do need to lie for him, but they think that Brett is the true operator. And that like their big outing would be like, guess what? Rockstar didn't really have that conversation with Brett. He's a real mastermind. And I think that Tyler would be okay.
Okay. Could it be ultimately, Brent, that to prove that that Brett did not have that conversation with Rockstar, would Brett have to drop his pants to reveal if he has indeed a micro penis? That would then give Rockstar more credibility.
I'm just trying to imagine, as somebody who usually carries the social media banner for this podcast, what would it be like on Twitter if Brett, the mean old villain of the show, called out Rockstar and made fun of her weight or made fun of the size of her chest or something like that? I can't imagine that that would sit well with everybody. And so I'm sure, look, it's fun to laugh about it on the podcast, and I'll certainly laugh with you. But I honestly, for people who are fans of Rockstar and her husband who's been all over Twitter, like, let's call a spade a spade. I feel like she was bullying Brett in this moment. Her behavior was honestly embarrassing. I'm a fan of Rockstar. Mm-hmm. I own the most Rockstar stock out of all of us in the LFC stock watch. However, she is an embarrassment. She plays the game so personally. She viciously attacks people in the Big Brother house. And honestly, if it was just because of the fact that we like her and the side that she's on, because she's effectively on Bailey's side at this point, we like her. I feel like if the shoe was on the other foot, that we wouldn't really like her all that much. So, I mean, I'm at least willing to call her behavior out. And I mean, it's just really terrible.
Well, let me ask you that, because we got to see her in the diary room. Did you feel like, because I mean, we all had seen the clips from over the weekend with her banging the pan and carrying on. Did you feel like that she was more sympathetic seeing her diary room footage?
She was certainly sympathetic to me. I just, look, everybody's gotten upset in their life, and you've had somebody who, you know, maybe betrayed you or something, and you don't feel very good about yourself, or you're really hurt. This just went on for day after day, hour after hour, is all she would talk about to anybody who would listen. And Brett, God bless him, he has turned from like somebody who actually I really don't care for into a somewhat sympathetic figure mm-hmm. because he's really willing to take all of this on the chin. He hasn't called her out for anything. I mean, he has said a few not so choice things about her in private, but to her face and in the diary room, I think he's been a pretty amiable guy. And because of that, I'm actually not really like I'm not against him at this point. I'm not rooting for him, but I'm not against him as say I would be some other villains in the Big Brother game.
Taryn, did you get any other perspective on Rockstar after seeing her confessional?
Listen, Rob, I've listened to her, you know,
she's saying the same thing on the feed.
I've listened to everything anything that she could possibly say at this point. She's still talking about it today. She's still saying the same stories about how I know this guy. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that walks into the club and says that I could buy this place. I know this guy. She said that like 15 times. I don't even know where she came up with the idea. But no, I didn't get any sort of further insight. It's more of the same.
She's
it's
really
just,
turned
attributing
off
all of these things, Rob, to Brett that are not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like this avatar for every straight, white, privileged male in the world. And it's unfair to Brett. And frankly, it's unfair to the straight, white, privileged males out there. Not that they need to be, you know, defended about.
Yes. We will not defend them. No.
Well, I will not.
So, but I feel like that she came across as pretty sympathetic with, you know, I know she's been such a meme with my daughter's birthday and everything, but when she's crying in the diary room talking about how I was trying to win this for my family, and of the people that are in the house, I believe that she is the only person there, unless I'm missing somebody, that does have a family to go home to now that Summer Steve is gone. Right. I did feel like that she, you know, I thought it did help her where I feel like that there might be some people who were maybe not as aware of her that maybe she did gain some support from the TV watching
audience.
Oh,
yeah,
tonight.
I'm sure she's gained plenty of support from people watching on TV because they saw, what, you know, 10 minutes of it, Taryn? They saw a little bit of pot banging.
Sit through days of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the people in the house have had it with her. Even her own allies have had it with her at this point. I mean, some of them kind of need her because they need somebody who's a vote, but they are really through with her because her behavior is embarrassing. And look, I am still a fan of her, okay? I'm rooting for her. I love her. I want her to do well. It's just that diary room that you saw was right after it happened. Like, I think they called her into the diary room like an hour later after the endurance competition. And she was still a mess by that point. And then it just continued on and on and on. And she's not even playing the game at this point. She wins Big Brother if Brett is evicted. That's mm-hmm. how she's playing it at this point. I will say this, though. Because she's playing it so badly, even the people who don't even like her are looking at her like, first of all, she can't win anything. Second of all, if she does win something, she's going to go after Brett. Like, we know who her target is, so let's not worry about her right now. So through her own incompetence, she might actually survive in the game, but that still should not be applauded.
Okay, let's start to bring Sam into this because she somewhat decides that, okay, well, if I didn't use my power yet, I'll have some agency over it if I put the people up on the block and then I can decide who the power ultimately is going to get used on. Which, okay, fine. So that's what she's going to do. So she then begins a very curious night here where then she's going to bring everybody up to the HOH room. I believe this is the first time that we've seen Who Wants to See My HOH Room. And Taryn, she has one rule. Nobody's allowed in the HOH room without me. That you can't. I'm not meeting with anybody. No one-on-one. So really, you know, one of the benefits of being the HOH would be where you can sort of like make deals with people, not on Sam's watch.
No. And she had planned on just announcing her nominees right then and there. But I'm pretty sure the diary room talked her out of that by telling her that's against the rules because it would ruin their show. So, yes, she just said, I know who I'm nominating. I'm not going to talk to anybody one on one. And you're not allowed in my HOH room. Earlier on in the episode, she said, I want to win HOH because I no longer have the authority. And she goes on want to explain to use my power the way that I want, but really it's just about the authority. She really wants to just tell people what to do, tell them what's wrong with them, tell them how they can fix their problems, and then fix their problems by putting them on the block and calling them out for their behavior.
Yes, she is going to get this house run the way she wants to with her nominations this week. But more on that to come. Before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit, Brent, about the JC and Fessy storyline. And I thought that this was really fun. Evil JC, when we got to see him putting this seed into Fessy's brain and really getting to hear him talk in the diary room. And we've seen this Fessy JC dynamic a lot on the show, but it's always in terms of like wacky stuff. And here we saw, okay, this is going to be where we're going to have JC really manipulate Fessy and see him like going nuts and getting all wound up. He wants to punch something and JC's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. But he tells him that it's Caitlin. Caitlin and Haley are the people that are messing with him.
Yes. Yes, well, I think that Taryn will probably disagree based on his Twitter, or maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. Maybe the truth is both. I know Taryn believes that that JC is getting away with a lot of the ideas concerning Fessy because of the language barrier, that it's easier to lie in a foreign tongue. I know Taryn retweeted an article about that. I personally believe that what's going on with Fessy and JC is what I talked about on my Instagram earlier, which is that Fessy is a really good-looking guy. He lives down in South Florida, and I think he's used to having gay guys throw themselves at him. I'm just telling you the real tea. I think this is the legit truth. I think through all his life, he's probably pretty used to that. JC obviously is gay, and they have sort of a flirt man's together. There's been a lot of things happening on the feeds where they flirt a little bit. Obviously, JC's doing more of it than Fessy. But I just think from Fessy's perspective, he thinks, you know what? I've got this guy by the balls, no pun intended, and like he'll do anything for me. There's no way he's lying to me. He's got to be telling me the truth. I really believe that Fessy thinks that JC is telling him the truth because of that. Now, there may be other reasons why, but I do feel like that is an intricate part of their relationship. It's a little bit of a weird relationship where objectively speaking, from the outside, you think that they're close, but they're always fighting a little bit, but it's like a flirty fighting. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to see how it adapts to the rigors of the game moving forward. If Fessy ever figures out that he's being played by JC.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. I think that Fessy, more than anything, operates off of attention. He is very much like Caitlin in that way. And JC gives him that attention. Yes. But JC is smart about it, too, because JC likes to, insult Fessy a lot as well.
He negs
also
him.
Then, exactly. He negs Fessy. JC might be the best of the flirters between Haley, Caitlin and himself when it comes to controlling Fessy. So I definitely think that's on point. I find the in general, not even just specifically to Fessy, I found it interesting that I came across this article literally as I was watching on the episode JC do this, where there is actual data on the idea that somebody speaking to you in a second language, it's harder to tell if they're lying because of a whole host of reasons. But I think that's one of the reasons why JC, or at least a contributing factor to why nobody seems to ever think that JC is lying to them, despite how many times he's been caught lying to them. And I find it fascinating.
Yeah, I just really like this evil mastermind edit that we were getting from JC. And I also like the idea that JC also kind of hates Fessy also, and doesn't really like being around him, but tolerates him. And I feel like that there's a real Ren and Stimpy vibe to the two of them together. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll say that JC, I feel like JC made a better villain than Brett did, and Brett was really trying to step into the villain role there at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, I guess, start to move into when we have Caitlin Rockstar Haley starting to talk about, okay, what's going on here with this vote? How did this happen? And they end up arriving on the fact, Haley talks it through. And she realizes Sam must have used her power this week. That's what happened. She changed two of the votes, and then she has this great moment with Tyler when she's like, unless you change your vote, ha ha ha, that would never happen. Of course, I know, it's my intuition. I figured it out. And I love when Caitlin is self-congratulatory, Brent.
Oh, God, she's amazing. She's so fun. I mean, like, I just don't know where they found this girl. She's just, it's, well,
Where did I hear this? Taryn, did you talk about this on one of the daily updates of where she came from?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I absorbed this through osmosis somewhere, but I
okay. That somebody, some other morning update you were listening to, Rob.
I don't know where I got this from, but allegedly she was found by Chuck Liddell at a tanning salon. Did I dream this? Is this my intuition telling me that Chuck Liddell found her at the tanning salon getting ready for Celebrity Big Brother and then recommended her to Robin Cass?
I think she claims that to be the case. Okay. But I don't know if we know if that's true.
Okay, well, like the chat is so helpful. Half of them are saying, oh, that's right. Half of them are saying that's fake news. So I don't know what happened, but whatever is the truth, I would love for that to be the truth. Yeah, I would love for that to be the truth because that would be so fun. Caitlin is the best because she just thinks that she knows everything and you cannot tell her otherwise. And she's totally willing to be the butt at the end of the day. Like if it eventually comes, you know, she's like, you know, in the diary room going, well, you know, if it's not this, then I'm going to feel like a complete idiot. But I know it's this, so it doesn't matter. And so, she's great. And I love the fact that they were, Taryn, they were almost on to Tyler and Casey being the flipping votes. And then it was like, aha, I have the answer. And it was Sam again with this stupid power thing. Again, I'm so lost. I will say though that Big Brother's probably opened up a Pandora's box because I know somebody like Scotty would say, well, you know, Julie would have told us if a power has been used. But on the other hand, looking at Bailey's identity power, it looks like they're not going to say anything if the power is used. So I do feel like in some ways, like the cat's out of the bag with this one. And I understand why there might be a bit of a confusion on this one.
Yeah. Part of this also that you didn't see is that I think part of the motivation behind this epiphany is that she is trying to get herself off the hook in the same breath. You know, she is trying when she says Tyler and JC, I don't think she ever believed that they were the flipped votes. I think she was trying to come up with anybody that wasn't her because Fessy didn't believe that it wasn't her. Mm-hmm. She could tell that the other people didn't believe it wasn't her. So she was trying to come up with an alternate theory. And eventually she came on this, you know, this, oh, Sam must have used the power. So like, this is her feeling like she's clearing herself of the vote, I think, more than anything. And that's why she feels so strongly about it.
Right, well, ultimately, this conversation about the flipped votes is going to lead Rockstar to start to talk about how she's so excited that Brett is here. And if she's the person, Brett, you know, Brett saying to her earlier in the night, well, you pulled it off. You did it. You got it going. And this is going to drive her crazy. And we get one of the most iconic moments here so far in Big Brother 20. Rockstar tells us that
it's a celebration, bitches.
Yes. And we celebrate Rockstar's daughter's birthday with this. I was having a conversation before the show tonight about do you think they're going to include the word micro penis in tonight's show? And I said, I bet they have to. So here it is.
Micro penis.
I already tweeted to Dr. Mike to see if he is available to come on to the Big Brother podcast to talk about how a micro penis might influence somebody playing the game of Big Brother. So waiting for that. Okay, Brent, last season we had Josh banging the pots and pans. For the life of me, I don't remember why Josh did that.
Oh, boy. Why did he bang the pot?
It had something to do with Justin Cody, right?
I think it was before that. It was with Mark, right? Did he bang the pots and pans in Mark's face and Mark eventually tried to take the pot away from him and took a swing at him, Darren?
I think that was later. I think it started with Justin Cody, potentially when they put him on the block. And then it sort of gravitated to Mark because he never respected Mark for the way that he handled the she talked about people being snakes.
Yeah, the chat is saying it was the Mark thing. So it was the pickle juice in the face kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it all happened within a week and a half of each other, honestly. He did it
multiple times throughout the season.
Exactly.
Yes, in fairness multiple to us. Times. Yeah, but right, that was the first genesis of it. Okay,
right.
So here is a rock star going along. Now, Taryn, how much Brett claimed in the diary room? Oh, well, look, this annoyed everybody else in the house. How much did it annoy the other people in the house?
I mean, it annoyed the people in the house. I don't know if it annoyed him to the point that Brett is self-congratulating himself for. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she cleared it with her alliance ahead of time and said, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And they're like, go, go. Frankly, I think they were glad to just get her out of the room and, you know, stop yapping about Brett and go do something. Basically, go channel that anger into something.
Yeah.
And plus, the other thing that's happening here is they know Sam is HOH. Sam has said there's not going to be any one-on-ones. Anything that they can do to make sure it's not them and it's somebody else, I think is a good thing. So they're like, you know, go out there and annoy everybody. And sure enough, about 40 minutes after this started happening with the pot banging, mean old Aunt Sam came downstairs to put a stop to it and said, you know, hey, well, Rockstar, I mean, she's like, I know it's been too tough. But, you know, I would support you in doing this, but, you know, you're affecting everybody in the house right now. Of course, Rockstar's, you know, I will say to her credit, Taryn finally made a wise game move.
And stop doing it.
She didn't just say F off, Sam. She said, okay, I'll lay off.
She was like, but he's my friend.
I know.
I'm just trying to play with my friend.
Exactly. Yeah, she went on like for a while about that, but she did eventually stop banging the pots and pans. She was following him around. I think she was hoping that he went to bed and then she could wake him up again.
Mm-hmm.
But then Sam put a stop to that. So Sam's just no fun whatsoever.
Right. And Taryn, what a wonderful moment it was then. Tyler in the diary room, you see him giving an interview and he hears that and he's like giddy, like, Can I go outside? I have to see this. But I think that's got to be really exciting when you're in the Big Brother house and somebody starts doing something like this. Like, you live for this stuff.
Yeah, this was a great episode for Tyler. This moment was fantastic. It's honestly, I just think anytime I see something genuine happen in the diary room, I get very excited because I'm so used to it just being this like these like bland repeated lines. So I loved that. I also loved the look to the cameras as Caitlin is like got her head out the door telling people that Sam's power flipped and he's like,
yeah, he gives the thumbs up.
I thought that was great. And he's like, look, I don't know. I can't even take credit for this. This is all her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I thought he had a good episode.
Tyler's been very good in the DR, Taryn. I remember, was it last week when he's like, you know, oh my God, she's so bad for my game. You know, because you know, that was him. They did not make him say that. He did that of his own volition. I really think he's been very fun.
Yeah, and I think that that's the kind of stuff that we want to see in the diary room, sort of like genuine reaction to stuff and not just, you know, repeating lines that are written for people, you know, that's helped us get to know these people. Okay, so then the episode went to talk about the JC and Bailey conversation. I want to circle back to that. Let's just talk through the game stuff and then we can talk about how the show handled all of that after the fact. We got very quickly, it was weird because we had all of this chaos. Then we did the JC and Bailey segment, which I was kind of surprised that I'm like, maybe they're not going to go through with it. Julie teased it on Thursday and we've got all this crazy stuff going on, but then they ended up going back that they spent a lot of time there. And then it was very quick, Taryn, that we got into Sam's nominations, which I guess that we were really seeing it from the perspective of the house guest, where she said, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to have any conversations. And if you didn't know what the nominations were, I guess kind of a blindside.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they knew it was coming. So it was like very strange how they portrayed it on the show. I got whiplash going from one segment to the other. It just felt like the juxtaposition was completely off to me. So the pacing and the buildup just didn't work. And then to have like these people, in tears about something that like just happened, even though mm-hmm. that like, again, there's no buildup. And we're like, wait, why did she do this? And what is she talking about? Behavior, like how are they even relevant? We haven't even seen them in 20 minutes. I felt like the pacing was really off. I feel like they shouldn't have planted their flag by saying they were going to talk about this. I feel like this would have been better served on like recap episode. Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
which would it wouldn't be as fun to recap the recap.
No, it wouldn't. But I think that they were, you know, in Celebrity Big Brother, they certainly got a lot of media attention talking about any sort of controversy. And maybe they thought lightning was going to strike twice. And it was this dud week coming up. And I don't think they had any reason to expect there would be this kind of fireworks going on after the episode. But we'll come back to it. So Sam and her nomination speech, she puts Haley and then Caitlin up on the block. She tells us, here's a piece of her speech.
Honestly, I don't care for how the two of you treat the young men in this house.
Yes.
I think that they deserve more respect. And I think that it is the opposite of female empowerment.
The opposite of female empowerment. Finally, Sam is standing up for the young men of the house, Brent.
Yes, she is, but I don't know or understand how that works well with women empowerment. It seems odd. First of all, Taryn, please tell me, and I know that you don't have a crystal ball in front of you like I do, but they must have cut a little bit out of Sam's speech. I know it was offensive, but I know that they cut more out of it. So can you tell everybody anything that that people on the feed said that she said? Because it did seem a little muted.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because they obviously can't like quote word for word what Sam said. I heard most of the points in the speech, but it definitely seemed like a lot was cut out. Honestly, I doubt there was a whole lot more like content wise, but I'm guessing that she just kind of went on for a bit to the point where it got uncomfortable for people. A lot of people went to Haley in particular, and they were like, "You didn't deserve that. Like that was kind of uncalled for." Haley isn't somebody that has, you know, gotten very upset in this game before. Like I have no reason to believe that she would just like, you know, go off out of nowhere for no good reason. Not that it wouldn't have been a good reason, just the speech that we saw, but it definitely seemed like a lot of the stuff was cut out just looking at the cuts and the pacing of what Sam was saying.
Yeah, she said the thing about wearing clothes that don't fit you, and you know,
this
trying
was
to
after the fact. This is just to give.
I thought she also said it during the speech.
Well, she definitely said it in private later on to she would go around talking about more of her reasoning. I don't know if this was repeating stuff that she said in her speech, but there was definitely a lot of stuff like guys can't help themselves. I don't like the clothes that they wear.
Tell me about the clothes, because that Sam brings up a interesting point. That she's unhappy with the way that these young women are dressing around the house because they are wearing clothes that are way too revealing, right?
Haley doesn't even wear stuff like that.
It's the other way around, Rob.
What do you mean?
Too not revealing. It's too big and baggy on them.
Too baggy?
Yeah, because like Rachel just like wears the sports bra constantly,
but
she appreciates that because that's, I guess, honest.
That fits.
But when Haley's wearing these big sweatshirts and like hanging over people, it's just very provocative to these young men who can't help themselves. Yeah.
Right.
So it's very unfortunate. And people like Rachel and Angela, who according to Sam are 10 times hotter than Haley and Caitlin, don't degrade themselves in the same way. So they deserve a lot more respect.
Yeah. Sam's speech was honestly ridiculous. I mean, just to be serious for a second, it was so offensive to me because she was blaming the women for trying to play the game while at the same time totally excusing all of the flirting and the guys walking around with their shirts off and their muscles showing because
are they wearing a giant shirt, Brent?
No, they're not wearing it.
Baggy clothing.
Gives them a pass because, oh, well, they're men and they can't help themselves. You know, that's just how they are. And plus, you know, you might actually scar Scotty for life with all the flirting you're doing with him and trying to manipulate him. I mean, that's really bad. So she this backwards hick way of thinking that is like the opposite of female empowerment. Somehow she has turned it on its side to make it seem like she's in favor of female empowerment when she's not actually. Again, Fessy is one of the worst flirts in the house. He will do anything for some of these women if they just give him what he wants, and you know what I'm talking about. But yet, that's not anywhere on Sam's radar. But a nice girl like Haley, who has been the picture of holding back in the house and trying to carry herself with a little bit of class, gets indicted by Aunt Sam because she's trying to play the game. So I honestly can't stand it.
She is a femme fatale all the way.
Yeah. Sam does not care for those femme fatales in the house. She's coming for them.
That was such foreshadowing when she said that a week ago.
Well, then that was her friend said that about Sam.
Well, and yeah. So, well, sorry, they sound the same to me. So I, hell if I know.
Yeah. Darren, has Sam ever expressed these thoughts prior to the nomination ceremony this week?
No, not particularly. It really came out of nowhere. You know, the one hint that we got that I have talked about on the updates is that she did talk about how she felt like Scotty had a crush on her. And now she kind of knows that Scotty more has a crush on Haley. And so she's worried that Haley is going to lead him on and scar him for life. So that was kind of, I think, a bit telling in terms of her feelings toward Haley.
Is that possible? Is that another love triangle in this house, Brent, where Sam has a thing for Scotty and Scotty has a thing for Haley, and that's why where this is coming from?
I mean, I agree with Taryn. I don't want to misstate what you said, Taryn, but it does feel like that Sam just wants the attention of the guys in the house on her, and she likes to hang around them. I don't know that she wants to be with them, you know, in a romantic sense, but she likes being around the guys, and any of the women that take attention away from that is something that she doesn't particularly care for. So, it's so amazing to me how somebody can go, two people were at the top of like all of the popularity polls, Sam and Rockstar, like 5 days ago. And yet now, like, both of them have, you know, plummeted precipitously because of comments that they've made or things that they've done in the Big Brother house.
They've
it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
People really turned on Sam.
Sam had been consistently number one on Jokers for a good like 30 some days. She is today fallen to number four. So, you know, that's over the last 3 days, she's gone from one to four.
And
she's
sure on social media, she's even worse than that. The bad thing, though, I think it was Amon, it was on Twitter, saying that Sam lives in a camper with no Wi-Fi. So even if we want to drag her ass, we're not going to be able
to. We're not going to do that, though. Yes. We're not going to drag people.
Well, you know, on social media, I can go after her.
Let's try to set a good example.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do that thing.
All right. Taryn, do you feel like that Sam got off easy based on the events of where we got to tonight in terms of the edit?
Yes, and I think that's true for two reasons. One is, you know, probably some of the stuff that they cut, and then another is the buildup again, where there really wasn't any buildup, and it's kind of an afterthought what happens. You don't. It's almost like you're still kind of thinking about what came before, so it's like kind of hard to even like think about, like, oh wait, what's going on? Okay, these are nominated. I don't even know why. Why are they crying again? Like, I think you're a little bit confused. I think the real test will come in the next episode if they show any of the comments that we saw on the feeds that Sam made to further explain her thoughts on why she did this. If those are left out, then she's definitely getting some of that good old edit protection.
Okay. All right, because the show did a lot to build her up on Thursday night. It would be surprising to see them bring her down so quickly, but we'll see ultimately when we get the fallout of all this on the Wednesday night episode, which should be a lot of fun. Let's go back to now the Bailey and JC incident, which was reported widely on Wednesday, which ultimately ended up being the subject of a TMZ report. Which described what was going on. And we really did get a long segment here going back from when, you know, the genesis of this conversation, and then also Bailey talking to JC, and then, you know, them getting back together and then hashing out the rest of this. So, Brent, in terms of how this story was depicted and how it unfolded, were there any surprises here?
Yes, a little bit. I felt like they were a little bit more even-handed with this story than maybe it called for. I felt like the JC got a little bit more of a sympathetic edit than maybe he deserved. But in fairness to him, I don't think he understood what he did wrong. And unfortunately, through all of the things that were happening in the Big Brother house, I don't know that, and maybe they cut it out, but I don't know that Bailey was effectively able to explain to him what happened there. Because she at one point she said, well, I asked you a question. You said it with a statement. And he's like, well, what's the difference? I mean, we're both using the English language. We both said the same thing. what she needed to say to him, and what I think would have made it more clear to not only him, but also people in the audience, is something that our own Zach Bosler tweeted on Twitter, which is that Bailey was asking if that word was offensive, not knowing if it was. That was an honest question on her part, and she wanted to know. JC used a word that he knew was offensive in trying to answer her question, and therein lies the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, the one thing that I did like about Big Brother having this in there was that I felt like it was a little bit of a, to me, it felt like a throwback to something that you would see in the earlier seasons of Big Brother, where, you know, Kent and Bunky would have a conversation and sort of get to a little bit of a deeper understanding. Did it feel that way to you at all?
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking, like, I wish that they would handle like more of their show in the way that they handled this, in the sense that it really, they really like followed it, like as it was happening. Like it felt like I don't want to call it this, but like it felt like a complete storyline where we saw the genesis, we saw what happened after, we saw people reacting to it, and it felt like it was happening in real time. And we don't often get that on the actual edited show. And it did feel a lot more like the slower pace of the old seasons, where, you know, we would have these kinds of, you know, these long, more drawn out conversations about things. And, you know, I came into this episode prepared to be like, oh, Big Brother, you know, handling controversy the way that they handle it. But I don't know. It did feel like they just kind of let this play out. And I can appreciate that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, the most perfect conversation, because it's not a perfect conversation. It was a conversation between these two imperfect people who had a conversation about it. And I think that hopefully, you know, some people are able to take something from this and learn something from this.
Yeah, the chat is really going bonkers right now. And I want you guys to try to listen to me on this, because it feels like that most of you don't understand where Bailey is coming from. Many people in the chat are like, Bailey is using it's a huge double standard on her part, because she got to use an offensive term and JC, you know, effectively wasn't in the Big Brother house. And what you're not seeing is that, you know, when it comes to heightism and things in that nature, it hasn't been communicated to most of us people who are of a somewhat regular height what is offensive and what's not. And so Bailey asked an honest question to say, you know, well, is this offensive or is it not? She's trying to use a term because she has to get across the term in order to know if it's offensive. JC intentionally used a word that he knew was offensive in order to evoke the same hurt in Bailey as she had evoked in him. And that's the part that's not okay. And if you guys don't understand that, then I can't help you. But it took me a while to get it. But after I thought about it for a little bit more and, like, you know, talked with some people on social media, that's where her hurt was coming from.
Yeah. And to me, I think that where he really went wrong was at the point where he said what he said. And then she says, hey, whoa, stop right there. You know, you don't get to say that. And I think that when you are having a conversation with somebody and you say something and the person says to you, hey, you have deeply offended me, I think you have to back off and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, and not pursue with, well, why not? Why can't I say that? I think that really, as people, I really think that it's very important. You know, you say something, and God knows I've put my foot in my mouth at times in, you know, 8 or 9 years of doing podcasts. But when somebody calls you out and says, hey, you said something that is not good, whether you, you know, knew it or not, you have to say, okay, you know, I did that. That is not my intention. I'm so sorry. I won't do that again, and not pursue. But why can't I do this?
I will say, though, that she didn't exactly win. The reason that people are going bonkers in the chat right now is later on in the conversation, when she was talking with them in the pin room, she said that she used the F word, the gay slur, as an example. I felt like that was not a good look on her part. And then she quickly tried to backtrack and say, well, I used it as an example to show you what's happening to me. It was almost like two people who weren't even listening to each other at that point. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for Big Brother including stuff like this in further episodes. But I almost feel like in some ways they were missing a narrator because there wasn't anybody to distill what was happening. If they want a teaching moment, you're going to have to teach. And I don't feel like they did a good job of that tonight. Yeah.
And I also say, in fairness to JC and to Bailey, these are two people that are not, you know, professional spokespeople or PR masters. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning and they're in the, you know, day 30 of a very stressful game. And so that I don't think anybody is perfect. And we get the opportunity as people who are viewers of this show and are basically a fly on the wall, getting to watch two human beings have a conversation, that we get to watch how this all plays out. And not everybody is going to, you know, get all of their wording perfectly. And hopefully that there was some learning and some takeaway from this that we got to experience as people that and maybe when both of them get out of the house, that there's a more of an understanding of like, oh, OK, I realize now that this is how the world reacted to what I said. But I mean, we are people who are watching flies on the wall, watching this conversation take place.
Yeah. And, I want to say, go ahead, Taryn.
I just think that, maybe the takeaway here, or at least maybe I think the takeaway here should be like that. I think that, being defensive as an instinct is sort of what caused this. And it can be difficult to not be, to just go into defense mode when you feel like you're being attacked. But if JC had responded instead of feeling like he needed to justify himself, had instead been like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, why do you feel this way? Explain it to me. Then they could have explained it to each other in a way that was a lot less offensive and a lot less, hurtful to each other. And I do think that they both could have learned. And I think it goes both ways because we did eventually see Bailey use words and then try to justify herself in a similar way. And I think that it's a difficult thing, but if you let your walls down and you're willing to accept that, like, hey, I could be wrong and I'm willing to learn from this, instead of just trying to immediately jump to like, no, it's not wrong because, that's when you can actually learn. And that's when I feel like people are much more willing to forgive you for making a mistake and saying something that, you didn't mean or intend to harm them with.
Brent, was there any fallout from any of this after the fact going into the later part of the week?
No, I think that it was pretty settled. I know that, I wouldn't call them best friends at this point, but they get along, pretty well. JC and Bailey, I'm talking about. And that night that it was clear what happened because JC said that feeds immediately cut. And I think they were off for a good 45 minutes. And the next thing feeds come on. And Taryn, I think they were just finishing up their conversation in that room and then
they
walked
were
out.
They were having their conversation for a while. We didn't get feeds on it. And there were some people that were trying to like listen in, but they eventually decided it was not respectful and they kind of left.
Yeah. And yeah. Taryn, did Winston need to be airbrushed out of any of the scenes a la Pauly Calafiore at the Ziggy Marley music festival?
It's definitely possible. He might have been in that have-not room, but I'm not sure.
Okay. We'll see if any super sleuths out there can find out whether or not Winston had to be electronically removed from any of these scenes. Okay, let's start to bring in the questions from tonight's episode. And Scott St. Pierre has stacked, ready to go. Do you think that JC as HOH will target anyone from level 6 or will continue to weaken Faute? Will he break away and try to do something with Fessy, Tyler, and Casey? A little bit of a hypothetical, but should JC come into power, Brent, how do you think that he would handle things?
I think he would do exactly what Tyler wants him to do. Not that he doesn't have a mind of his own. JC is actually playing pretty well right now, but at this moment in time, I feel like he would go after the remnants of Faute. Remember, JC doesn't even know there is a level 6. He's working with these people all on that side. And he's never thought to himself, hey, they might have something themselves that I'm not really a part of. I think that would probably challenge his own notions of the game because that would call into question his ability to play the game if he's been that dumb and has been, going on, 4 weeks now and has been effectively playing for an alliance that he's not part of. I'm sure he would probably be shook by that.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Reagan in season 12. He is one of the parachute alliances. Like he is one of the people attached to the alliance and doing work for the alliance unknowingly. And he's doing it well, but it might come back to bite him eventually. It really just depends on how loyal these people are to each other. Obviously, we saw with the Brigade, they did stick to each other to the end, apart from, of course, our dear friend Matt Hoffman. But I do think this level 6 alliance is it has a bit more of that powder keg under it, and I do feel like I think that JC is in a position to kind of maneuver and work his way into these people, this group of people, rather than be the one that sort of like is expendable to them. So I'm not super worried about him.
Taryn, in your opinion, who is Tyler's real number one? Is it Casey?
I think it's Casey. Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Because she would be the most beatable opponent should he get to the end?
I don't even know if he thinks that. She's definitely well-liked. I don't know if he plans on taking her all the way to Final Two, but I think that she is the most dependable person in his alliance. She has a lot of connections that are beneficial to him. She is just very steady. She's very loyal. She's good at lying. She's good to bounce ideas off of. He can connect with her very easily. You know, JC is a bit of a crazy ball of energy. And, you know, exactly, yeah. So it's harder for Tyler to like talk to him on the same level. And obviously we know the relationship with Caitlin, and Sam as well is kind of like a wild card and all over the place. So I think that Casey is definitely the person that Tyler wants to work the most closely with. That said, again, I don't know if he would take her to the final two. It would depend on, you know, the view of her toward the end of the game, because right now a lot of people talk about Casey like she'd be very hard to beat in the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
$10 says, is Brett being set up as the villain of the season? When was the last time we had a truly great villain? Well, if you ask Angie Rockstar, he's certainly the villain of the season. But Brent, I don't know if the show is setting up Brett as the villain.
I mean, they were trying to a little bit with those diary rooms. I know that where he was, you know, at the end when the nominations came in, he was like, oh, I just love this. You know, this is it warms my heart. So, you know, when after you just saw the girl crying in the previous 5 seconds, I think that doesn't give it. I mean, if there's any voting for anything else on Big Brother 20, you know, he's not going to win it. That said, I don't think he makes a very good villain because he's not a villain. I mean, he's trying to give it to him. I feel like, Taryn, those were 100% diary room lines that they gave him in the diary room and said, hey, okay, we want you to act a little bit more like this, because he's just not normally that way. I mean, I'm at the point where I kind of want him to troll Rockstar. I don't know if it was you, Taryn, on the updates or something. I wanted him to troll Rockstar where like where he's stuck on the wall and he can't get down or something, and or, you know, or starts, you know, telling somebody, hey, it's my daughter's birthday, why did you do that to me? but he to his credit, he hasn't done anything like that. So you know, he's not even a very good villain.
Yeah. Taryn, I think that he's fine as a villain in the diary room. I think the issue is that he doesn't really have that many evil plans.
Yeah, I mean, he, like I said, the people are trying to make him out to be more than he is. He's great at speeches, and he's a competent liar. But apart from that, there's not a whole lot that's like super special about Brett. So it's hard to really like peg him into a hole that's not the bros. And they are trying to evolve him from that. And I'm not sure it's going to work, but, you know, he is kind of Tyler's front man. So, it's almost like they're trying to portray Brett in the way that the other house guests see Brett, but that's not who Brett actually is. Tyler's actually that person, but Tyler's too fun in the diary room, to be a straight villain.
Okay. This is another villain question. Frank wants to know, did Sam turn heel in tonight's episode with her nomination speech? I don't think that she is going to be seen as a villain after just this tonight, Taryn.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they've invested a lot in Sam. She was their first fan favorite of the season. They did the first home visit with her. As Donnie mentioned, he had his on episode 11, and so did Sam. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like they want Sam to be in that archetype. I think that they feel like this HOH week, if I'm thinking about their motivations potentially, I'm thinking they're probably thinking, let's just get her through this week, and then we can go back to good old Country Sam that is not problematic and won't be messing us up.
Totally, like 100%. Like my mom, who doesn't watch the feeds, but I recently turned into a fan of Big Brother. I'm sure she watched the episode tonight because I bitched to her on the phone about Sam's nominations. And I'm sure she, you know, without me saying anything to her, she would watch the episode and be like, you know, those girls are probably a little slutty. You know, they probably do flirt with the guys like that. You know, I don't have any problem with Sam. Sam seems like an honest girl. Why would she say something like that? You know, so I'm sure this is not gonna turn her. The casuals are not going to abandon her at this point, Rob.
Right. I think that the casuals probably don't have enough of a body of evidence on Haley, but the little bit they've seen of Caitlyn that they might be like, oh, I guess.
Yeah, that's the toughest part. Exactly, because the things that she accused Caitlyn of are all kind of true, but Haley was totally innocent and got caught up in the web of whatever, you know, lies that Sam was trying to spin about her. So it was a little bit of a, you know, like, I mean, Caitlyn has done some bad things in the Big Brother house. She's, you know, used the guys and, you know, appropriately so, but she's also a psycho and crazy person. But that doesn't mean that you can attack her for, you know, flirting with the guys and not then attack the guys for flirting with her, because they've been doing it just as much with Caitlyn as she's been doing with them.
Yeah. And the live feed community has done a very good job of exonerating Haley over the course of this weekend. Here's a great question from Nikki, which I was actually wondering about myself. This is a question. What was a rock star's best insult to Brett? Saying he is her baby daddy, saying they are in a secret showmance, insinuating he had a micro penis, or calling him her best friend. Now, I thought that that was a really interesting, Brent, that she did in all of that. Hey, oh, here's my best friend. He's my baby daddy. And he also has a micro. So I get the why she's going to tell people, okay, he has micro penis. But why is she telling people or insinuating that he is the biological father of her children, one of whom was born 10 years ago that very day?
I can't believe on my daughter's birthday.
I don't. As I've stated on this podcast, I don't support some of the things that Rockstar had to say about Brett. But beyond that, she did so terribly at playing the game here and really going off on Brett with all of these, you know, insults and things that she was doing with the pots and the pans, that she did it so much that it got to the point, Taryn, where she started to look like a liar. Because they were like, well, why would you react like this if you were telling the truth? I mean, you would just say, ha ha, that, you know, good one, Brett, nice try, and move on with your life. But she has taken the bull by the horns.
And he can prove she's lying about the micro penis.
Oh, well.
And say, see, this woman is a liar.
I don't know. Look, I mean, she's done a disservice to herself in trying to attack Brett, because it goes to the point where you're like, well, if you're protesting too much, then you must be lying about something. So even if they do believe her that you didn't vote that way, I think there you could probably find a majority of the Fauté Alliance who actually does believe that that conversation with Brett probably happened and that Rockstar probably did have a conversation with Brett at one point, like, hey, me and you together, who would ever think about something like that? So I don't think she's done herself any service with what she's been doing over the past 48 hours.
Yeah, the way that she reacts is not consistent with somebody who didn't do this. It's consistent with somebody who did do this and was outed and is very upset about it.
Yeah.
She's, how could you do this to me? Sounds like, how could you out me in front of all of my alliance members and friends? Like, how could you do, I trusted you with this conversation. It doesn't sound like, how could you come up with a random lie when you thought you might be going home, like, because it doesn't, like, what do you mean do this to you? Like, I made something up, sure, but obviously, like, why would anyone believe it unless you react in this way? Like, if I 100% believe that if Rockstar laughed when he said that during his speech, and if she had been like, good one, Brett, like, played it like it was a gag, Brett probably would have been like, right? Like, I feel like it wasn't even that committed until he saw how well it was working. Because it's just, it's the complete wrong reaction if you want to exonerate yourself. But that wasn't what she just genuinely was, like, super affected by somebody lying to her in this game, in the same way that she's been super affected by people just not talking to her. She says all the time, I walk into a room and he leaves. And like, that's the worst possible thing he could ever do to her. And it's just like this is the game. Like, that happens.
I also feel like it takes two to tango, and I don't understand. Yeah. Rob, I could never live in a house with somebody like this. Like, where with that amount of animosity between the two of them, I would have to pull him into a room at some point and say, okay, like, I know you did that for game, but I'm not happy about it, but I don't want to continue this animosity and this tension between us. It's not good for either one of us. So let's just chill. Like, let's
There's
just
a lot of baggage there that he's the father of one of her kids.
She's absolutely ridiculous. I just can't, I'm rooting for her still, but she makes it difficult sometimes.
He could be on the hook for child support too.
Yeah.
Hopefully that we have like a good 20-minute segment with Rockstar and Brett explaining, you know, their differences and how, you know, how the micropenis works and you know, everything that that's involved with it, because I think it really needs to be, you know, shed up. So some light needs.
I just want to note it for the podcast that of the three of us, two of us have said the M word tonight that she called Brett, and I have not. I just want to put that up.
Why, Brent? Are you anti micro penis community?
No, I'm just saying that I'm always viewed as the tawdry one on the podcast, and I have kept
that scientific term.
You are not allowed to be offended, Brent. You are not allowed to say that you're not offended, because you had no right to be offended in the first place, because we had every right to say micro penis.
Thank you.
Oh crap! I said it again.
All right, Brent is not having it. Okay. All right. Closed-minded Brent. Okay. Cyborg Sesternino wants to know, who was the last HOH to proclaim no one-on-one meetings? Bold move on a week that doesn't matter. I don't know if anybody's ever done this before.
I can't either. Taryn, anybody?
No, I mean, like, Dan basically said it during the funeral, but then he immediately had a one-on-one meeting. Like, that, it was a lie. Like, it was a blatant lie. It was nothing to do with an actual strategy. So I don't think it ever actually has occurred.
Okay. All right, let's get into the live feeds, because there's a lot to get into there here tonight. And let's do that. We will be back on, of course, Summer of Stein coming up on Monday. LFC Roundtable on Tuesday, although if you're not listening to the live feeds, you probably don't check out the LFC Roundtable. And then on Wednesday, I am going to be back live again after the episode when Big Meech is going to be joining us on Wednesday night, which should be a lot of fun. But until then, let's talk about what is going on in this wonderful Big Brother 20 house in terms of the live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right, here we go. All right, time for live feed empowerment. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, busy weekend on the live, which you did a fantastic job this morning outlining the events of Saturday in terms of the veto competition, and the holder of the veto this week, Fessy Fitness.
Yeah, the one person who should not be holding the veto, because he has to choose between his two best friends. And by best friends, we mean the girl with a boyfriend who is in love with him, and the girl that he really wants to get with but isn't giving him enough action in the house.
Brent, it's such beautiful poetry. I know last week Haley had to read from Shakespeare's Hamlet, but that is drivel compared to the drama, the real human drama of Fessy's romantic love interest in the house, both being on the block, him not needing to win the power of veto, winning the power of veto, and then having to tell Caitlin that he will be using the power of veto on Haley.
Yes, and he promised Caitlin that he would use the power of veto on her. And the funny part is that, you know, in doing so, he was like, you know, you really, because he was worried about being backdoored. He was worried about Sam potentially using him as a possible renom. So he goes to Caitlin and says, oh, look, I really want to play in the veto, but, you know, if you pick me, I'll pull you off the block. She says, okay, you promise. Yes, I promise. Fine. So he goes to Haley, basically makes the same deal. You know, if you pick me, then I'll take you off the block. And so he had deals with both of them, telling them both that he's going to take them off the block. There were people on Twitter, Rob, who, after they saw the results of the veto draw and that Haley drew House Guest Choice, Taryn, right? She didn't actually draw a name. She drew House Guest Choice, correct? Yes. Mm-hmm. She picked Fessy. So, of course, Kalen goes to him and says, you know, well, why did Haley pick you? Do you have some sort of deal with Haley? He's, you know, giving up his typical dumb act, like, well, you know, I don't know what's going on. And there are people on Twitter who literally had prayer circles for a Fessy veto win. And then it happened. I mean, like, it was amazing. Feats come back. He's wearing the necklace. Kalen, as she's wont to do, immediately starts in with, you know, yay, you won. But then it quickly turns into a, yay, you won? Like, or why aren't you happy? Because I'm happy for you. Like, aren't you going to use the veto on me? And then she quickly realizes that he's not going to use the veto on her. Maybe he's not going to use it at all. Maybe he's going to use it on Haley, but he's probably not going to use it on her. So she proceeds to campaign to him why he should. But of course, Caitlyn's way of doing it is so ridiculous, you guys. I honestly can't believe. Taryn, I'll tell you this. I hear you on the updates. You know, you're mad at Caitlyn because she just cries all the time and, you know, is absolutely neurotic about the way she campaigns to Fessy. But Fessy never puts a stop to it. Like, he continues to let it happen. If I was in the house, I'd be like, look, I'll talk to you, but I will not tolerate any more crying. Like, I'll have a conversation with you, but you cannot cry to me. Because she just continues with this, like, you know, ridiculous hand-wringing and crying and emotional outbursts about, you know, why I picked you and I thought you were going to be my knight in shining armor. And I did, I did backdoor your best friend last week in Swaggy, but I did that for women empowerment. There are women all over the United States who are praising my name right
Young
now.
Young girls are looking up to me.
Yeah. Yes. So why don't you understand that, Fessy? And plus, she stood up for her truth. If I'm what she's saying, like, look, if I'm the one left on the block, I'm going to go home. Everybody likes Haley, so you don't need to save her. You got to save me, because if I'm on the block, I'm going to go home. Mind you, the funny part is that none of this matters, because somebody at the end is going to get a chance to come back in the house, but they don't know that yet.
Well,
but
that's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. The most dramatic week in the history of the show isn't even going to matter, and everybody's going to still be here next week.
Yes, yes, yes. And the great thing about Sam, if I can say one positive thing about her, is that she's kept that secret from everybody. To the point where people in her own, not in her alliance, but people on that side of the house just found out about it yesterday. People like Brett and Angela and Rachel just finding out that, oh, the power is automatically going to be used this week. Of course, they're mad. They wanted it to be used for Winston last week, but now it's going to happen to whoever is evicted. So even if they get out one of these people, it's not even going to mean a hill of beans difference anyway, but they haven't told them yet. And Sam's going to tell them after the renom ceremony and the nominations are locked. It's just a mess. And Rob, to top it all off, I don't even know who the renom is going to be. I'm sure Taryn can tell you who he thinks it's going to be, but I don't know who it's going to be. I have my suspicions, but that's the kind of HOH that Sam is.
Okay, so, well, let me just bring in a question here as we're talking about this, because this is a concern of mine. This is a question from Twitter. This is from Donald on Twitter. What are the chances that Caitlyn quits before eviction? And now, Taryn, keeping with the Shakespearean theme, I do feel like the viewer of the Big Brother, my great love is Caitlyn. And I do worry that like Romeo and Juliet, could Caitlyn, thinking that her chances to win the game are null and void and have expired, could she erroneously drink the poison and take her own life in the game, not realizing that there is a happy ending just around the corner on Thursday night?
That would be very poetic, Rob, and I very much appreciate the aesthetics of it, but I think there's a 0% chance, and the reason is that the people who have control of the poison need to give it to her willingly, and they will 100% talk her out of quitting, no matter what she says to them. She's very easy to manipulate, and these people have been doing it for a long time, okay. So there's no way way they let her quit the game.
And not just that, but she was already complaining to Fessy that she needs the money, like that, you know, her family's not doing very well and she needs to remain in the game. And of course he said, like, don't pull that bull with me, because you said the same thing. But Swaggy said the same thing to you last week, where he was like, you know, hey, you know, I need the money to be here. And she was like, look, I feel bad, I'll cut you a $5,000 check. Well, if you're short on cash, how are you going to cut him a $5,000 check? There's no chance that she quits, Rob.
Yeah, she was like, oh, but it's different. It's different. And Fessy was like, Swaggy's from the hood. Like, what are you talking about? Yes. You have it. He was like, no. Swaggy was talking about for himself. I'm talking about for my family. Mm-hmm. It's for other people. People rely on me, Fessy. Like, I mentioned this morning. She pulled every ounce of tricks she had in anything she could, any possible thing that you could think of to try and manipulate someone. She did. She was like somebody being, broken up with by somebody who didn't want to fully break up with her because he wanted to be able to keep her, in his back pocket.
Yeah, that's the problem, Rob, that you're not seeing from the show, is that Fessy really likes both these girls, but he likes Haley more. If he had his druthers and could be with anybody in the house, it would be Haley. But Haley's not really giving him the attention that he wants, but he wants to save Haley. But he also... Caitlin does give him the attention that he wants, although sometimes a little bit too much. So he's sort of caught between two thorns, because he really likes Haley and wants to save her. But on the other hand, if Haley's not going to give him the affection that he wants, he's going to save Caitlin because she might really need to be saved. And how grateful would she be? Bailey did finally set him straight and said, look, why are you paying any attention to what Caitlin's saying to you? She's using you. You know, she put up Swaggy. She voted against us during week one. She's not to be trusted. And he's like, well, is Haley using me? She's like, no, but I love it. I love it that that's his first question, Taryn. He's like, are both of the women playing me at this point? So no, I do not feel like she will quit, Rob, because she's not going to know her fate until the veto ceremony. And as Taryn noted, Sam has decided that she's going to tell them about the power after the veto ceremony. I do think that the diary room will probably allow that, because they'll get their episode with the veto ceremony. It'll end, and then right after, she's going to tell them about the power. So I think that's probably how it's going to go. If she doesn't tell them it right away, she'll tell them that later that day. And I again, Caitlin is too money hungry and too attention needy. There's no chance in the world she ever quits the game.
But I need to see her reaction of being evicted and then realizing that she came back in, and that she alone was responsible for this, Taryn. I need that moment.
Yeah, and that's why I think that they won't let them. And I really hope that they don't let Sam tell that, because, like, look, they want the Big Brother. They care the most about the shocked face on the live show. Mm-hmm. Oh, but guess what? What? But if they don't have that, because everybody already knows, then they lose the impact of that. They love that shot so much. They want the person to walk back in the house and everyone to freak out because they weren't expecting it. People were like, all right, see you in 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, but they don't know what the power is. I mean, to the extent of, they think that it might be part of a battle back, or there are people in the house that still think Swaggy's got a chance to come back. I think Scotty still thinks Steve has a chance to come back. So, they think that maybe
Summer
this
Steve.
Well, this person will just get a leg up or something on the competition. So they don't know what's about to happen. I think if they did, they'd be really pissed. The level six people that I'm talking about, that Winston wasn't given this power last week. But I understood from their perspective why they didn't use it.
Okay. Let's take some more questions here tonight. This is from Rick. Loving this season. Does the evicted house guest go directly back into the house if they win the competition? Where's Angela? We never see much. Well, we can't solve where's Angela. But in terms of that, will we see in the course of 1 hour on Thursday, Taryn, potentially, Caitlin leaves the house and voila... returns instantly.
I think so, because I think that they'll want them in the HOH competition, because how amazing would that be if they come back in and then win the HOH? So
I don't even think they're going to leave, actually, based on that little clip that we saw from from the first week when Steve was evicted. That room was up in the old temptation room, the room where the power app was given out. They had a thing up there to do. So if this is anything like that, I think that what's going to happen is that Julie's going to announce the vote. Somebody's going to go home, and the power will activate before they can even get to the door, and they'll walk upstairs do the thing and then have to, you know, if they complete it, then they'll just stay in the house. But I mean, that's my guess based on what we saw from the feed slip of that room during the live show on the first eviction. But, you know, they may do something on stage because they want it to be more dramatic with the audience, you know, cheering for them or something. I don't know. I kind of hope they do the second one. I hope they actually are evicted and have to say goodbye so that the house isn't sure about what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, somebody will... I think it would be fun to have them on stage. Like Caitlin doing a puzzle on stage with people rooting for her. I can just hear the retells of about all the little girls in the audience who are rooting for her, Rob.
And America,
I want them to gather around the memory wall and wait for the picture to go black and white. And it's not going black and white. And they're like, what's going on?
Yes,
and then, you know, the minutes are passing by and they're like, did they forget to do this? Like, what's happening? And then the doorbell rings and they're like, oh shit. Like, the people that don't know, because hopefully they haven't let Sam tell them, because that's what I want. And that's, I hope they will give us that.
Yeah. Okay, here's another interesting question from Nikki. He wants to know, do any house guests get you to be both terrified and turned on? Now, was this a line from the show tonight?
Oh, yeah, Brett said that when Sam said, oh, how she was doing in the endurance competition. He's like, I'm both terrified and turned on at this point. I would probably have to say Caitlin. I think she would be a fun role in the hay, but... I can't imagine that she wouldn't terrify me if she was outside the Big Brother house.
That was not the answer I was expecting, Brett.
Oh, well, I think she's hot, you know.
There you go. All right.
You don't think Caitlin's hot? I think Caitlin's hot. I think she's gorgeous.
I'm not getting any thoughts of Darren.
Look, I made fun of Caitlin enough. I don't need to talk about her looks.
Okay. Taryn will admit he is terrified of Caitlin.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What did Tyler have to do to be on TKO again tonight? Did he win the battle back? This is from Golden. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Are they re-airing the Tyler episode of TKO tonight, Taryn?
That's what I assume they're doing. He's not like they brought him back.
I thought it was a mistake. Like, did they air the wrong promo?
Thought it was a mistake as well.
Is TKO that they're like, okay, well, we gotta, you know, cash in as many if people just see TKO once, they'll be hooked.
Yeah, I watched it. It was terrible.
Okay.
I guess they're re-airing it. I mean, the fact that Big Brother went back to 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, I think says bad things about how TKO is already performing. So, you know, take that for what it is.
Okay. And then Stacked wants to know, do you think that Sam will use JC or Rachel as a pawn for replacements and she doesn't want to use Rockstar, or will she go ahead and put up Rockstar? Any chance she puts up Tyler because she knows they won't go home? Taryn, so do we have an official call? Who are you reporting officially is going to be the replacement nominee?
I mean, I can't officially report anyone for sure, especially today. Like, I'm not completely caught up today. I was a last minute replacement on this podcast, but the last that I know, my assumption is that if the veto was used on Caitlin, which I don't think it's going to be, then the replacement might be JC or Rachel. However, if the veto is used on Haley, which I do think it will be, then the replacement will likely be Rockstar. That is my assumption, and then the intent would be that Caitlin is the target.
I can't believe on my daughter's birthday. You are disgusting.
Brett, are you feeling the same way?
Yeah, although I don't think that she's going to put up Rockstar, although I know she was a little bit more amicable to doing so later on in the day today. So I do think there's a small chance of it. I said earlier that I thought it was going to be JC because she's looking for somebody that Caitlin will definitely go home against. I do think that Haley is the person that's going to come down. The funny part is that Sam has not wanted to tell Tyler, even Tyler, like the renom. Like, she's been really shady about it. Not shady, but she's been very secretive about it. And he's like, well, you know, you'll tell me though, right? And she's like, no, not even telling you, not even giving you any hints. So he doesn't really know what to campaign for, mm-hmm. and he's not sure. Like, I think he could probably get Fessy not to use the veto, but the funny part is that Sam did tell Bailey that Bailey's not going to be the renom, so Bailey told Fessy, you can do whatever the hell you want, because I know I'm not going up, so mm-hmm. I do think it ultimately Haley's probably going to be saved. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just my wishful thinking, but I think it's going to be JC.
Taryn, let me just ask you a question also that there may not be an answer to. Why is Sam invested in who is actually going to get voted out on Thursday when she knows they will be returning to the house immediately?
I want to win this HOH because I no longer have the authority, Rob. That's I think it's all, she, again, we've talked about it on the updates. I think that she has some kind of like a God complex, and she really just feels like she deserves to control not only the actions and the results of what's happening in the house, but the behavior of the house guests themselves. She feels like Caitlin is the one that deserves to be punished. She would like to see her leave and then hopefully not be able to win her way back into the house. That's just how she feels. It's all about control and feeling like she's better than the rest of them, I think.
Okay. Sam is improving the Big Brother house in small, gradual ways all the time. And so, and Brent, what is it? She was making like a jail wine.
Oh yeah, she was trying to make moonshine earlier. Like this is like last week or something. But I mean, that's not. I literally was like, this is the best season ever. Oh, and Sam also, even though she became HOH, she did not eat until the other have-nots were off of slop. So she was like, she's smarter. So above everybody. Right.
And I mean, so it's so because the Big Brother was not giving them alcohol, so she was trying to make bootleg alcohol.
Unlike Big Brother Canada, this production team does not give them plenty of alcohol, even a little bit of it, actually. So they were trying to make their own. I don't think she was very successful, though.
Okay. All right. Let's touch on what's coming up here. Survivor South Africa is back, and another wrap up from Shannon Gates. People are eating up. We're so busy with the Big Brother, but there's some great international Survivor going on. Shannon Gates has been covering all of it. Check out episode number 12. And of course, how about some international Amazing Race with Jessica Leese and Dan Heaton? Episode 3 of season 6, Canada's hottest show. The Amazing Race Canada. And of course, Taryn's going to be back on Monday morning. We might get some more insight into who the replacement nominee is going to be as we get ready for Monday's veto ceremony coming up on the live feeds. Catch at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. So fun to be there live. And then, of course, Eric Stein will be back on Monday for the Summer of Stein. Of course, we love to hear from you. Get your feedback questions in. BigBrother@robiswebsite.com for email. You can leave a voicemail at robiswebsite.com/voicemail or call us in 323-282-RHAP for that. And the LFC roundtable is going to be back together for what should be another fun episode on Tuesday night live 8:30, is that right? 8:30 yep. Eastern for the LFC roundtable, and then we will talk to the great Big Meech on Wednesday night, July 25th. So be there live for that. Lots of fun stuff where we are closing in on 1 month in on the Big Brother season, of course, to get even further down the RHAP rabbit hole. Go to robinswebsite.com/patron to find out all the benefits of becoming a RHAP patron, including all of the bonus shows and incentives that we have for you. When you check out robhasawebsite.com/patron. And of course, thanks so much to all of our patrons for helping make all of this podcasting here in this wonderful Summer of Steve 2018. Of course, you could follow Brent on Twitter. He is at @OneLuckyGay. Taryn is at @ArmstrongTaryn. Anything else before we close the show tonight?
I just wanted to tell you and everybody in chat that we actually need a few moderators because the chat, you know, now that we're on YouTube, the chat is absolutely hopping. So anybody who we trust and we know, stick around for the end of the show. I'm going to talk to Rob and hopefully we can mod a
we're
couple
doing it
of
live.
You. Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
Hey,
you
that
know,
goes... That goes for Twitch as well, where you, you can also watch the show. We can't have enough moderators, because some of you people get out of control.
Well, you know, when we were on Chatwing, we had moderators, you know, aplenty over there. But for some reason over here on YouTube, no one's around. So we need a little bit of help. Yeah.
Because everything that we were saying about listening to other people when they're talking about, how they're feeling and not just, talking over another person. That goes double for when you are chatting online in text. OK, so let's try to all be wonderful people to each other, and we'll start, like Sam, we'll improve the world one step at a time, Taryn.
Oh, yes. Sam's very effective, so
yes,
we can only aspire to be as good as her.
Yes, we are all about chatter empowerment around here. Of course, thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes tonight, getting everything into the show. Anything else, guys?
Yeah. It's just been a fun week of Big Brother. Can't wait to see who the renom is. It's crazy when we do not know who the renom is going to be. We suspect, but we don't know. Sam is that kind of an HOH, and should be a fun Thursday too.
Yeah, fun week of stuff. And I'm also hearing through the rumor mill that there may be some more RHAP BBB&B around the corner as well. So be on the lookout for that. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.